This episode is brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is a trusted and leading North American distributor of electrical, communications, data networking, and industrial products that supports projects of any industry. Construction, hospitals, industrial plants, schooling, and more. Yep, Graybar does that. Graybar operates with one clear mission: to serve as the vital link in the supply chain, adding value for customers and suppliers with innovative solutions and services. But here's what makes them different from the competition: being able to effectively navigate supply chains to get products on site and on time is crucial these days. And Graybar's nationwide logistics network, with over 290 locations across the country, assists owners and professionals build and maintain the operations in their electrical, communications, and industrial world by providing them what they need, when and where they need it, and within budget. Yep, Graybar does that. To view more information on their services, head to graybar.com. That's GRAYBAR.com. Yep, Graybar does that. This episode is brought to you by Putter Cup. More than a training aid, it's a skill enhancer. Visit puttercupgolf.com and use the code GOLFSMARTER to get 20% off your order. Now, let me explain. We've discussed many training aids on this podcast, and frankly, there have been a lot that have crossed my desk that you never heard me talk about, either because I didn't get it or I thought it wasn't worth your time. But Putter Cup is different. After nearly 20 years in the market research industry, Matt Davis, a lifelong golf nut like all of us, had an idea on how he could help every golfer feel more calm and confident when they putt. This isn't a device to improve your mechanics or develop the perfect stroke. Putter Cup is designed to strengthen your focus and reduce distracting thoughts while you're putting. How? Putter Cups are golf hole inserts that encourage golfers to focus on the putting essentials of speed and aim. They're lightweight and easily fit into your bag, so you can fine-tune your focus before every round and at every practice session. Putter Cup gives you instant feedback, so it's easy to get dialed in quickly and feel confident as you head to the first tee. You've got to check it out for yourself. Go to puttercupgolf.com and use code GOLFSMARTER to get 20% off your order. And combined with the 15% discount you get with the Pressure Putt Combo, you really save. And the Pressure Putt Combo includes both the Speed Bump and the Center Cup, two very different but very valuable skill enhancers. That's puttercupgolf.com and get 20% off your next order with promo code GOLFSMARTER.
My oldest daughter had to have been 4 years old. And at the time, she had never said, "Dad, you write better than I do," or "You run faster than I do." But when we went on the golf course, she said, "Dad, you hit the ball further than I do." And that really clicked to me that for some reason, she didn't feel like a peer or capable of her skills relative to mine on the golf course. And so what I do with young kids now is when we go play, I'll hit shots that they're capable of hitting. If their driver goes 100 yards, I'll play a little shot that goes 100 yards. And it looks about like there's the same kind of trajectory. And when we get around the greens, instead of going real high with a shot that I could play, I'm going to have to play a shot that they're capable of playing so that they can see what those types of shots look like. And in all reality, it makes me a better golfer because sometimes those aren't my first option, and so I would need to work towards being able to play those.
Hi, this is Ward Shaw from St. Louis, Missouri, and I play at Greenbrier Hills Country Club. This is Golf Smarter number 829.
This episode is brought to you by Dynamic Golfers, and Ward Shaw has just won a year-long membership to Dynamic Golfers for introducing today's episode. Stay tuned to hear how you can too. Getting your child started with golf, then getting a college degree in PGA Golf Management with Henry Stettina.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Henry.
Hello, Fred.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm really curious. You're in New Mexico. You're a lifelong New Mexico resident, right?
Absolutely. Born and raised.
There you go. Not really a golf destination, is it?
Not so much. There are some great golf courses in New Mexico. I happen to grow up in the northern part of the state in Santa Fe. And so there's some good golf courses in Santa Fe and Albuquerque. I'm down in Las Cruces now. So there's a few really good golf courses, but certainly not a destination.
Yeah. But the elevation, when you get up to Albuquerque, right? You're playing an elevation then.
Yeah, there's going to be about 5,000 plus feet in Albuquerque.
What are your favorite courses?
7,000, and we're right down here about 4,000. So yeah, it's definitely a high desert, and then we get some snow in the northern parts.
And where are you based in New Mexico?
I'm in Las Cruces, southern end of it.
And that's where New Mexico State is?
Yep, New Mexico State University. About a 15,000 student university, Division I NCAA program.
Awesome. And you're part of the PGA Golf Management Program there?
Correct. Yep. I'm the program coordinator. I'm involved with primarily player development and instructor development.
Okay. I want to get into that too. I'm fascinated by that because I know that you work with a lot of young people and college students as well. But let's stick to golf for a minute in New Mexico, because I have some friends that we travel every year and try to go to places around the Southwest. And anytime I've brought up New Mexico, they're like, "There's golf in New Mexico?" It's like, yeah, I guess there's got to be golf, right? Not a lot, but there's got to be some golf there. What's your favorite course?
Yeah, there is. So I grew up in Santa Fe. I grew up playing the Santa Fe Country Club, a small semi-private club. That's always going to be my favorite club. But man, there's some good new modern championship style resorts. Black Mesa is just north of Santa Fe. Cochiti, just south of Santa Fe, is a good one. Paco Ridge is one of the greatest golf courses that anybody would ever play. That's just east of Albuquerque.
Paco Ridge? What is so special about that?
You know, it's just a unique golf course. It's very large in nature. It travels through the Pinon-style hill country of kind of a mountainous area on the eastern side of the Sandia Mountains. They have a new ownership. They've invested some money in renovating the facility, and it's becoming quite the destination for sure.
Hmm. Fascinating. Well, I'm going to make a trip out there someday because
it's
a beautiful country.
They have a green on Paco that has 100 yards from front to back.
Why?
It's just a unique design feature. I don't know. Depending on the conditions, a person could hit anywhere from, I'm sure, sand wedge all the way up to a fairway wood. I mean, depending on the wind gust, that hole can vary a ton.
And you get a lot of wind there too?
There's some wind. Yeah, southern parts for sure. But I mean, 100-yard length green, different hole locations and different wind conditions, that's going to vary quite a bit.
I can't imagine looking at my GPS and it says, you've got 100 yards to the front of the green, 150 to the center, and 200 to the back of the green. I can't. It's like, what? Wait, that's got to be a mistake, right? No, it really is. 100. How do you practice a putt? If you're on the front of the green, do you just chip it? What do you do?
I guess, yeah. You half swing putt.
That's crazy. I just, you can't even prepare for something like that. You can't, there's no place to practice that.
No.
Was there a lot of negative feedback about that? If people made comments like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, or the greatest hole ever with 100-yard green, and it's only 10 yards wide.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the greatest hole, but it's certainly a memorable hole. Clearly, we're talking about it. I think a lot of people see, unique. Like you said, how many times have we ever been able to even attempt a 100-foot putt? I can imagine that 100 players yards, yeah. see the – or 100 yards, yeah. See the whole location either in the front or the back, and they have to go to the other side of the green to try it out.
Wow. And does their practice putting green really big? Do they give you the opportunity to practice a shot like that?
No, definitely not. practice putting green is much smaller.
Because that's a lot of real estate. Is that a par four?
It's a par three.
Do you know?
Par three.
A par three?
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Wait. A par three with it. So like the green is like 10 yards from the tee box, the front tee box? Because you still have to hit it 100. That's okay. I'm going to have to look up pictures for that one. 100 yard green. I'm going to look up, see. And that's at Paco Ridge?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Par three. I'm going to be talking about that way too much with my friends. They're going to like, okay, we heard about it. Quiet. All right, let's talk about the work that you do with young kids, because you've spent a lot of time. There's a beautiful video on the New Mexico State University website on their golf management program that talks a lot about you, and these kids just adore you. I mean, they want to be you. Congratulations.
Thanks. I don't know about that, but yeah, that's certainly... Certainly a neat video, and we've been fortunate to have a lot of support through the university, through the golf courses in the community, and then the community itself. I mean, the PGA Junior League program has become a kind of a staple within our community and has allowed golfers of, all walks of life to experience the game for maybe the very first time.
Tell me more about the PGA Junior League.
So... PGA Junior League is a team approach for introducing kids ages 6 to 17 to the game of golf. It puts them on teams, and it gives them jerseys and numbers, and it allows them to explore the game and learn the game similar to that of a Little League soccer team or a baseball team.
I can't imagine that in New Mexico... that a lot of the families there, a lot of the kids come from families that have never, I guess they would never have played golf before. This is new for the whole family, right?
Yeah, I think that's what attracted me towards PGA Junior League was growing up in New Mexico, I was one of only a handful or several kids who played the game. It wasn't until I got to high school that there was another kid playing golf in the school that I was attending. And so I could totally relate. And I got into coaching PGA Junior League. I guess we're going on 5 years now. And at the time, they had introduced a scholarship for kids who qualified for free or reduced lunch at school. And to me, that was the catalyst for creating a program. We grew a program from 6 players in 2017 to 106 players in 2018, primarily as a result of the scholarship program.
Wow. Yeah, tell me more. Keep going.
Yeah, and so, cost is a barrier to entry for golf for many people.
Sure, sure.
And so being able to reduce the cost or in a lot of cases eliminate the cost was an opportunity that we saw that allowed us to, develop a program. We were looking for maybe 20 to 30 players, and it just kind of blew up on us to where we had over 100 players that first year. And with most of them being on scholarship, we needed to get equipment for them. And so working for the university, I utilized our PGA golf management students to kind of allow them to help by cutting down sets of clubs, old sets of clubs, and piecing them together to make little youth sets that the players could at least start with. And then we needed coaches. And so what we did was we hired the PGA Golf Management students who happened to be in the area during their summer internship to help as coaches. And we paid them for their services. And it started out as a way of just getting kids into the game. And it turned into a great partnership between the PGA Golf Management, the local golf courses, and then the community, because we're kind of all in it together, growing the game and giving college students an opportunity to learn to coach.
Well, you should be very proud of yourself to get involved in the community in such a way that gives kids skills that are well beyond a sport. We all know what golf can do to build character. And yeah, you should be really proud of yourself. That's really awesome.
Thank you. Really I appreciate awesome. That.
Sure. Listen, we're going to take a quick time out. We'll follow up with that. We'll be back with Henry Stettina right after this. This episode of Golf Smarter is brought to you by Dynamic Golfers, who provide daily 15 to 20 minute long video workouts that target muscle imbalance common to golfers. You know, I spend a lot of time on YouTube, probably more than any other app. You'd probably guess that I like to watch golf videos. Unfortunately, most of those are focused on swing mechanics, flaws, fix. You know what I'm talking about. Along with YouTube, of course, I've interviewed hundreds of golf instructors on how to become a better golfer. The hook that sucks us in is about increased distance and eliminating your slice and eliminating your hook. They make it look so, so simple to just do ABC and your slice is gone forever, right? What I've noticed is that all of these assume that you can make that complete turn on your backswing, or you have a body like they do, or that it's simple to keep your arms extended throughout the entire swing. They want us to believe that quick fixes with equipment and training aids will fix it all, but ignore that as we don't have time to spend hours each week just practicing, or our bodies just don't move the same way as we age. Whether because we're out of shape, working out the wrong way by focusing on endurance, increased heart rate, or building muscle, which are good things, but not necessarily for golf. But the secret they're not sharing is flexibility and mobility. If this is familiar to you, then I would like to suggest that you try Dynamic Golfers. Dynamic Golfers isn't yoga. It's not calisthenics. It's simple, easy to achieve dynamic stretching that's designed to help the average golfer. Now, as you track your progress, you'll feel and see the results within 4 weeks. The Dynamic Golfer app offers more than 400 daily stretching and mobility video workouts that will take more than a year to complete. Mixing and matching workouts that focus on different parts of your body each day so that you can make a swing that will correct your slice or add more distance. I'm a testimony to that. Right now, Dynamic Golfers is offering Golf Smarter listeners a 7-day free trial and 15% off with a coupon code GOLFSMARTER. One word, GOLFSMARTER. Join the thousands of golfers worldwide that include Dynamic Golfers multiple times each week or even daily in their daily routine. And it only takes 15 to 20 minutes. Plus, it's not the same workout every day, so you won't be bored by repetitive positions. Again, go to dynamicgolfers.com/golfsmarter and sign up for their 7-day free trial and 15% off the membership with coupon code GOLFSMARTER. And how would you like to get a full year membership for free? Simple. Write to me at golfsmarterpodcast@gmail.com or just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com and tell me that you'd like to introduce an upcoming episode. Get the details at the end of this episode or check out your show notes. I'm a habitual user and it's helped me become a better pain-free golfer. So check it out for yourself. dynamicgolfers.com/golfsmarter.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual, because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
I'm fascinated by the fact that you're bringing in some of the students from the golf management program into this opportunity to be able to work with kids as well. How significant, how large is your golf management program at the university, State University?
So our program will fluctuate anywhere from 80 upwards to 100 students per year, depending on the year. Prior to my arrival in 2014, there wasn't really much for a teacher development or player development component. And at the time, our director, Pat Gavin, who's been with the program since its inception, was able to get a new line, a new staff line within the program. And he hired me with the intention of developing that type of a role within the program to increase player development, to increase instructor development. We built an indoor facility. We have state-of-the-art equipment to help students become better golfers and then to also build some skills to become teachers. And as things progressed, we started to take our students to the local schools to teach golf and PE classes, and then to the Boys and Girls Club teaching golf on blacktop playgrounds and at local parks. And as things developed and as we were introduced to PGA Junior League, that was just the next step. And over the years, we've had dozens, probably upwards to 50 or 60 different PGA golf management students have the opportunity to coach through PGA Junior League. And this past fall was the first time that 100% of our coaching staff were either current students or graduates of the program, which was quite nice.
Awesome. That's awesome. Now, are the students at the New Mexico State University PGA Golf Management Program, are they mostly locals? Are they mostly from New Mexico? Or do you have a lot of people who are making that a destination, not the golf, but making the university a destination?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because the university itself is primarily comprised of in-state residents. Mm-hmm. The PGA Golf Management Program is quite the opposite. 80 to 90% of our students come from out of state.
Wow.
Our program, it was established back in 1987. For a very long time, it was one of four PGA golf management programs nationwide. And over the years, there have become more throughout the country. But we've still stood strong as being one of the leaders in the industry. And we attract students from all over the country and even all over the world.
That's fascinating. And now what I'm curious about is, when you come across kids, say in your junior league program, or even prospective students to the PGA golf management program, these are clearly kids who grew up playing golf, who are at your program. Are these ones like, oh, I just love playing golf and I want to be a golf teacher? Are there people that you say, you know what? That's not what this is about. This isn't going to be an opportunity for you to play golf all the time, because, as you probably well know, once you start getting involved in the profession of golf, you don't get to play golf often, right? And most teachers I talk to, they're like, yeah, I don't get to play anymore. I'm just teaching. So is this something that you ever, you know, try to talk to kids and try to vet them out of, why are you going into this?
You know, the students who come to us, they love golf. For whatever reason, golf has become something quite meaningful to them, and they want to make a career out of it. Or maybe they're not quite sure what they want to do, but being able to get a full-fledged college degree, we're housing the College of Business, they get a Bachelor's of Business Administration with a major in marketing, while at the same time being able to still play golf and compete in tournaments and work in their game and be around that golf culture is quite a nice way of getting a college degree. And so it's not very common for students to come to us with an idea of just simply wanting to be a coach and that it's going to be an easy route. If anything, most students come to us thinking that they're going to play college golf and play on the PGA Tour and whatnot. And so what we end up having to do is to explain to them that, you know, there's only a select few who make it to Division I golf and to make it to the PGA Tour. And what happens if that doesn't work out? I mean, we're going to do everything in our power to help those individuals become as good of golfers as they can. But having a career in golf is a great second option. Being able to share the game with others, being able to introduce children to the game, to be able to work with military veterans, to be able to give a lot of people this incredible experience that we were so generously given through some other mentor or family member who introduced us to the game. And so that tends to be the case, that they're looking for an elite level of play. And through our program, we're able to offer them a tournament program anywhere from 18 to 25 tournaments per semester so that they can continue working on their skills and to get that competitive feel. And if they are able to be among the elite players in our program, they can participate as members of teams that compete regionally and nationally. And every now and then, a special player will come along who gets the attention of the golf coach, who gets recruited to play on the team. One of our graduates, Brett Walker, he came to us and for the program, and he worked hard and he got onto the golf team. He became one of the members of the traveling team, the number one player on the team and captain. And then as of last year, he competed in the PGA Championship. So there's a perfect example of an individual who took the opportunity of attending the university for the PGA Golf Management Program, kind of parlaying it into a career on the golf team and then now a playing career, which has some potential of making it to the PGA Tour.
That's phenomenal. You kind of answered my question. I was going to ask you about the golf team there. Do you have a competitive golf team? And are they in conjunction with one another, your program and the golf team?
Yeah, we're Division I NCAA university. So our golf team is quite competitive. We're a smaller university, but man, they're still really good. And we do allow students to participate both in the PGA Golf Management Program and compete on the golf team. At the moment, we have four students in the program and on the team. Of those four, all of them were recruited to come play for the team. And being that we had the PGA program was kind of an added bonus for them. But yeah, we definitely have a good working relationship with them. Those individuals tend to be a little bit more involved in the golf team culture. We allow them to complete the PGA Golf Management Program to the best of their ability, maintaining the requirements and objectives of the program. And then when they go on their internships, they tend to be able to work at courses with graduates who also played on the team or facilities that would allow them to spend a lot of time working on their game, playing and practicing.
Wow, that's great. That's very impressive. Listen, we're going to take another time out and we'll be back right after this. This episode is brought to you by Modern Mammals, a company that creates new hair washing products for men. Visit modernmammals.com and use code GOLFSMARTER for 10% off. I'm a guy. I get it. Once you find a product you like, especially hair care products, you think, that's it. I'm not changing. Why would I? This works fine. Really? Fine? When is fine good enough in your life, your work, your game. Unlike the shampoo you've been using forever, Modern Mammals products don't have harsh detergents that suds up and dry out your head and hair. And unlike conditioners, they don't leave your hair limp and frizzy. Instead, they lightly clean your hair and scalp, cleansing your hair while protecting its strength and texture. But let's get back to you. Have you ever really cared about what you put in your hair? Probably not. But that's why you need to visit modernmammals.com and read the reviews that prove how well it works. And while you're there, use code GOLFSMARTER at checkout for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with the promo code GOLFSMARTER. That way, they knew we sent you.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Henry, the pandemic has been hard on everybody, but it's been amazing for golf. It really has. Unbelievable how much business has been created, how much golf courses are booked, how many teachers are just booked up all the time. I mean, it's a shame what's going on, but it has been wonderful for golf. And testimony to you, you were named the number one golf instructor in New Mexico for 2019-2020. You must have been very busy, and congratulations on that.
Thanks. That was quite the honor.
Yeah. So let's talk about golf instruction. Do you have private students as well, or are you mainly focused on the university work?
I work primarily for the university. Mm-hmm. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, I'm working with our students on their games. I am working with them on their instructional abilities. I'm teaching class, creating programs for them to conduct. I do teach a bit on the side. I teach at the Red Hawk Golf Club. It's a facility here in town, a public golf course, 18-hole championship golf course with 7,800 yards from the back tees, a beautiful practice facility. And they've been kind enough to allow me to be their director of instruction, where I teach individually. I do some junior golf classes that take place on Saturdays throughout the year. They're a year-round program. And then that's where we conduct our PGA Junior League, both in the summer and in the fall.
At Red Hawk?
Correct.
Okay. When someone once told me, someone I was interviewing, I don't remember, I said, so how do you get good at golf? And he said, start when you're six. Like, great. That really helps. Somebody who started when I was in my 40s. How do you get kids? Because golf, from a child's point of view, especially with all the, you know, video games and everything else going on, everything moving at a fast pace. How do you convince children that golf is fun and exciting and an adventure? What's the secret?
You're asking the million-dollar question. Golf is, it takes a while to get.
Isn't that what you get paid at New Mexico State University?
Yeah, that is. it's a great game, and it takes a little bit of work to get good at. Kids, I feel, can pick it up a little bit quicker than adults in most cases.
Really?
What we look to do is we look to make it fun. We like to allow the kids to participate in a group setting. PGA Junior League has been fantastic because of the team environment. The jerseys make them feel part of a team. They get to choose their numbers. They're coached by our students. And so we're making it fun for them. We've developed a curriculum that's based on 5 steps. And the entire program is designed for them to learn those 5 steps, anything from, you know, grip, aligning of the club face, setting up, identifying with the target, and then making a swing. And if we can introduce that to them with putting and chipping and to see some success, and then to take those same concepts over to the driving range and to have the familiarity of already having a little bit of success. And then we make sure we take them on the golf course. Half of our program, even if they're absolute beginners, is spent on the golf course, playing 2- and 3-person scrambles with a coach in the group, encouraging and motivating and basically shepherding them throughout the golf course. I stress the importance of identifying what a green is and the fairway and a bunker and, you know, identifying the equipment that we use and basically familiarizing them with the whole facility. I want them to feel comfortable at the golf course, not only the kids, but the parents. I tend not to coach with PGA Junior League. I'll kind of do my rounds, make sure the coaches are all being taken care of and they are equipped with the resources that they need. But I like to spend time with the families, make sure that the families are comfortable, because a lot of times for us, the parents haven't ever played the game and they don't feel very comfortable there either. And sure. I'm looking to basically make it as inviting as possible and to see some success early on while always making the game fun.
Tell me about the 5 steps. I mean, what are your 5 steps to get them going?
So you've actually had a guest on your show named Ed LeBeau a few years back, and he's a mentor of mine. And we worked very closely.
Wait, how did you know? How did you know he was on the show?
I've heard the show.
Oh, thank you.
It was a great episode.
Oh, thank you.
And
you didn't tell me that.
We looked at creating a curriculum. We had 106 kids. How are you going to teach 106 kids for the very first time with coaches who were teaching for the very first time?
Oh, my gosh. That's a challenge.
And so, what we did was we welcomed them to the course, to the driving range. We had set up bleachers on the driving range like you would see at a soccer game.
Sure.
And some driving ranges have that rope that identifies where you're going to hit your golf balls from. Mm-hmm. And instead of having a rope, we basically set up paper plates every 6 feet or so. Rows and rows of these paper plates to where the kids were going to stand between the paper plates, and those were going to act as their target line. And we introduced them to 5 steps. The first step was to hold the club with a neutral grip, being that the palms were facing each other, the club looked relatively normal in their hands. The second step was to raise the club out in front of them and to identify that the grooves were vertical. Now, we're announcing these with a loudspeaker, and our coaches are among the players confirming that they're doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got step 1 and 2, grip and grooves. Step 3 is to place the club on the ground in the middle of their stance so that they're balanced and that the golf club is favoring the heel of the club ever so slightly. And then the 4th step is where the paper plates come in. We were to have the players point the club forward towards the target, the paper plate that was on the ground, so that the shaft of the club was pointing at the target and the grooves were vertical. Basically, like the player was shaking hands with the target.
Okay.
That step was to recognize that the purpose of the game wasn't to hit the ball, but to swing the club in the direction of the target.
That's an important distinction, too.
Swing towards the target. That's the most important of the steps. It's the most underknown.
Yeah, that's good.
And then the 5th step was putting the club back in a dress and making a backswing and a forward swing while remembering the location of the target and while maintaining their balance and while brushing the grass.
Brushing the grass. Correct. You're not worrying, you're not focused on divots and it's hitting the ball, then the ground, and then just brush the grass.
Correct.
Cut the lawn.
Absolutely.
There's somebody and made so we did a show on that. Somebody made a tool, a training aid to just cut the lawn. Cut the lawn. It's got little grooves in the front of it.
It's really valuable. Sometimes I'll have players, young or old, instead of working from the fairway, just move them to the rough a little bit, and that ball's sitting up a little bit nicer. And they can associate with brushing the grass. There's a little bit more margin of error right there, and they can actually hit some pretty good ones.
Yeah, sometimes I'd much rather hit on that first cut, second, than right on the tight little fairways.
Yep.
I mean, of course I want to be in the fairway, but you know, sometimes I just feel more comfortable. I've got a little extra grass underneath there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be real intimidating hitting shots from the green, from that length of grass.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if the green is 100 yards long. All right, listen, we're going to take one more break, and then I want to come back, and I need some tips from you as the teacher, as the coach, not the instructor of a university program. But we'll do that when we come back with Henry right after this. This week on Golf Smarter Mulligans, an episode that's never been shared publicly before as it was a members-only episode back in 2010. It's part two with golf instructor Rick Kosher, the Golf Better Coach.
If you would, next time you go play, everywhere where you would use a 9-iron, use a 7.
A 7?
Mm-hmm. Fabricate the shot that you need. You will be surprised when you allow your imagination to get in the way and stop trying to think about making the perfect 9-iron full swing, how well you'll be able to control a 7-iron shot. Allow yourself the opportunity to play a different club than you normally would and see how well you do at that. I grew up next to a golf course, and the guy who was the club champion came up every night after work and played as many holes as he could. And every night he came up to play, he carried one golf club. So he played his 6-iron off the tee on the par 5, played it all the way onto the green and putted out with it. He learned by doing this repetitively that I can make certain shots with this club because I can imagine what it is I wanted to do.
That's episode 145 of Golf Smarter Mulligans being released this Friday. Golf Smarter Mulligans are the best podcasts from the early episodes of Golf Smarter that are just no longer available on any podcast app. Please subscribe, write a review, and follow both of our golf podcasts so that you can hear the brand new episode when it becomes available.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Henry, I get emails a lot from people who are like, hey, my kid is getting old enough. I want to get my kid involved with golf. I want to get them to fall in love with the sport. What's the best way? You know, they're 4 or 5 years old, maybe 3, maybe 6, whatever it is. But what's the best way to get them started? What kind of tips can you give me to get a little one started on the golf course and make it interesting for them?
I'd say the first thing is to get them a coach. If that's available, get them a coach who really cares, who's invested in their students, who's familiar working with young kids, who might have young kids of his or her own. PGA golf professionals have a lot of different roles, and some of them are very focused in youth golf. And so that could be a fantastic person to be not only a golf coach, but a mentor. A lot of parents, though, if a parent isn't looking for a coach, the parent can introduce a child to the game. That's how I was introduced to the game. And at the end of the day, it needs to be fun. It needs to be an experience that is shared. Being able to hit good golf shots, being able to have the desire to practice and to play in tournaments and to move on and maybe get a scholarship and play professional golf. Those are things that are so far down the road that sometimes parents get tied up in. At the end of the day, a parent, if they're with their child on the golf course, I think they should both be playing and they should both be practicing together. There, you know, even a 3 or 4 or 5 year old, I mean, you can have a little putting game together. Start them near the hole and do some kind of a game that the child can manage, that can have success with and can compete with. So doing some kind of a small putting game or a chipping game. It was interesting. My daughter, my oldest daughter, had to have been 4 years old, maybe, like you're asking about. And at the time, she had never said, "Dad, you write better than I do, or you run faster than I do, or you lift heavier objects than I do." But when we went on the golf course, she said, "Dad, you hit the ball further than I do." And that really clicked to me that for some reason, she didn't feel like a peer or equivalent or capable of her skills relative to mine on the golf course. And so what I do with young kids now is when we go play, I'll hit shots that they're capable of hitting. If their driver goes 100 yards, I'll play a little shot that goes 100 yards. And it looks about like there's the same kind of trajectory. And when we get around the greens, instead of going real high with a shot that I could play, I'm going to have to play a shot that they're capable of playing so that they can see what those types of shots look like. And in all reality, it makes me a better golfer because sometimes those aren't my first option. And so I would need to, work towards being able to play those.
That's fascinating that you would not show up the kid, just like let them hit the ball and just do the same, match them. Right. So you're saying it's like hit the ball the same height, get the same distance, but don't go, all right, Billy, go ahead and hit your driver. Oh, you hit that 20 yards. And then you pull out your driver and hit it 200 yards. It's like that's not helping the kid feel confident, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, when we teach them to play basketball, we have short hoops and plastic air-filled balls. And when we play tennis, we're not going to bang, serves at them. I mean, we're going to play a small, soft, slow game for them. We're going to do things that they're capable of doing. We're trying to teach them the game. And sometimes that gets lost in golf. Golfers, the parent will hit from their normal tee shot and play this big, long drive. And then they'll let the kid maybe duff a couple tee shots and then pick up and have to move up to mom or dad's drive. Or maybe they only let them chip and putt. And so immediately from the start, the child realizes that they're not really playing the same game. And in reality, they're kind of less than when they're together on the golf course.
Oh, that's so interesting. Now, would you advise someone if they're just going out with their kid the first time, would you say driving range or putting green first?
I mean, maybe both. I mean, I think that wherever the kid wants to go might be the place that I would go. When I try to get my girls to go to the golf course, I try to let them kind of guide, kind of drive the ship, and I kind of ride shotgun with them. Most people like
But I'm curious, don't you want to give them the best opportunity to succeed? Because a driving range, I don't care how old you are when you're starting, a driving range is intimidating, all these balls flying. And, but with putting, and this is just in my head, but with putting, there's a little hole right in front of them. Just put the ball in the hole. Just drop it in with your hands. Now let's roll it with our hands. And, it's like that's the success. And if I really believe if you can get a kid to fall in love with putting, everything else is going to be easy.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, in a perfect world, I would start everybody from the green backwards, from the hole backwards, right? Learning the smaller skills, creating building blocks to build upon. But I think our real success is going to lie in our new players, our kids, in having fun and having good memories of the golf course. And if they really want to go over to the driving range early on, and we continue to pull them to the putting green and continue to pull them to the chipping green, that might be a bit of a turnoff to them. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do those things. I'm just saying that we need to be able to allow them to experience what it is that they're most interested in, and then also sprinkle in what we know that they need.
Right. Excellent advice. Oh, this is so interesting. I really appreciate it. It's a hard one too, because I get friends, and people ask me a lot, how do I get my kid out there, or how do I get my spouse to get interested in golf, right? And the worst thing that you can do on either case is be constantly teaching and teaching and teaching, because, you may not be the right person to be teaching, right? A 15, 16 handicap shouldn't be out there giving instruction on how to play golf. Your first piece of advice is the best. Go get a coach. If the kid's interested, go get a teacher. You're hiring a piano teacher. Before you start giving piano lessons, get him a golf coach.
Yeah, I think a golf coach is the way to go. And that parent, a parent should be taking their child out to play 9 holes in the evening, or 6 holes, or 3 holes, sundown rates. There's a lot of nature on the golf course that a child's going to, be infatuated with. Going to the pond and looking for fish or turtles, seeing the rabbits, the shade, maybe the in the trees in the evening as the sun's setting. I mean, that's what a lot of us remember as young people learning the game or spending time with family. And so if a parent can embrace that side of things and allow the child to explore the golf course, maybe letting groups play through as need be, I think that's going to be the real secret for them to get their kids into the game.
Great advice. Great advice, Coach. I love it. Really good. So, Henry Stettina, you can find at Henry Stettina Golf is on Instagram, URL, whatever. You have a website, what's your website? Give me that one.
Website is my name, henrystettinagolf.com.
Perfect. And then you're the New Mexico State University PGA Golf Management Program, a great program comparable to many huge universities. But if you're interested in getting a profession in golf, or know somebody who wants to have a profession in golf, it's a great, great option. Henry, I really appreciate your time, and let's plug your podcast real quickly.
Yeah. So during the pandemic, we started a podcast called the Straight Shooters Golf Podcast. Fellow NMSU graduate and friend, Keith Bennett. We both just started to kind of have golf chats and interview some instructors and players in the game of golf. And so it's become quite the journey, and I'm looking forward to picking your brain down the road on how we can improve upon it.
Get Ed LeBeau on your show.
We have. He's a good guy.
Henry, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate you having me on.
Today's episode was introduced by Golf Smarter listener Ward Shaw of St. Louis, Missouri, and he's just won a full year membership to Dynamic Golfers valued at $90. And now it's your turn. I want you to introduce an upcoming episode. Just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com and let me know that you'd like to introduce our next episode. I'll assign you an episode number. Then you just call our toll-free Golf Smarter listener line. That's it. Yep, it's that easy. And you win a full year's membership to Dynamic Golfers. And here's your reminder to vote for Golf Smarter as the best golf podcast of the year in the inaugural Sports Podcast Awards. Go to sportspodcastawards.com and vote for Golf Smarter before March 1, 2022. Now, they have 24 different sports categories, so you might find other sports shows that you listen to. But when it comes to the 8 golf podcasts that have been shortlisted by the hundreds of entries, hopefully you'll vote for us. I'll leave a link in the show notes and on our website so that you can vote today. And speaking of podcasts, now that you're listening to one, and I thank you so much for being a podcast listener, we have a lot going on here at Smarter Podcasts, including a variety of business podcasts from Protivity called Powerful Insights, The Post-Quantum World, and Board Perspectives. Crypto Changemakers with Danny Green is a new show where you can learn about new opportunities for social change using blockchain, crypto, and NFTs. And All the F-Words, where two writer friends 30 years apart share their generational perspective each Friday on what they give an F about. Last week, Gabby and Joanne talked about faces.
I'm turning 40 in like 2 months, and I'm thinking I might need a facelift.
You're not serious, sorry.
What do you think?
Oh my God, and you're saying this to someone who has jowls, whose neck is like a turkey. No, you don't need a facelift, but boy, are people getting facelifts these days. Here's my advice, Gabby. Moisturize, sunscreen, stop taking so many selfies. This week on All the F-Words podcast, we are talking about faces, how they age, what your options are.
We are anywhere you get your podcasts, and you can follow us on social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at All the F-Words Pod.
How does this look?
Better.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.